Blog Talk Radio.
Paper and their pencil, and that you are ready to take copious notes on this morning, because we have a lot to cover in this particular precept. I've done this one previously, but you know, we didn't do it as part of the armor series, so we're going to do it as part of the armor series and take care of this. Okay, so if you can mute your end, because we get a lot of background noise, if you can mute your end, then that will help me out. That'll keep me from having to mute you, and then when you want to talk, you won't be able to. All right, so we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name, the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I want to take the time to acknowledge our listeners in the different countries on this morning. So whether you are in Afghanistan, whether you are in Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Thailand, United Kingdom, the United States, or Vietnam. We say Shabbat Shalom, Happy Sabbath to you all, and we greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we pray that the ministry is blessing you wherever you're at, and that you are getting what you need from the Word of the Most High. We're going to go ahead and start with our statement of faith on this morning. And remember that our statement of faith is stating what we believe, okay, our principles, our foundations on what we stand on. And so if you know of any better ones, let me know. But this is what the Most High put on my heart when I put these together as to what we ought to be believing. I did want to bring up a couple of things before we start. The 29th of May is the new moon service. So, you know, prepare for that wherever you're at. And then I've been watching a series on, I guess, the Fire TV. I don't really know what channel this is, but it's like a movie or movies, and it's called The Days of Noah. And it's, you know, some modern-day pastors, but what they have done is broken down the days of Noah in current times, and I think that they have done an excellent job. I only saw one place where they were lacking in the series, and, you know, but it lines up with what the Most High has been telling me. And so, and it lines up, you know, like I say, it's like we were in the same meeting or something with what these pastors are saying. And these are all Gentile pastors. I have to say it that way. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the Most High give it to whoever he wants to give it to. So I was watching this series, and some of the things that they say, you know, I want to, you know, I'm going to bring forward in a precept because, you know, they actually opened up my eyes to a couple of things that the Most High had been saying to me, but I didn't really know how to put it together. But they really did do an excellent job on it. And with the exception of two things, with the fear of the Most High. You know, they mentioned that, but they really didn't harp on it the way it needs to be harped on. And then being born of the Spirit of the Most High. They didn't really, you know, harp on that the way that the Most High has shown me and told me to do so. But the rest of the series is excellent. And so, you know, they're one of the things that we have to be very mindful of in these last days, and, you know, I have to go back before the Most High on a couple of things as far as the second beast, the beast with the little horn, the beast that act like a sheep but have two horns, but talk like a dragon. And so I'm going to look into those things and go before the Most High on them. But, you know, it's a very good series. And I think that the churches out there, wherever you're at, if you're in a church, that series would be an excellent series for you to go look at if you really want to know where we're at in Bible prophecy and where and what the mark of the beast is, because they lay it out very well. And, you know, being in Sunday worship is a mark. And so I want to, I'm going to study that out and bring it forward in this ministry as well, so that we understand, so you can tell your loved ones, your family that's in the churches, and or anybody else that you want to witness to, as we become better disciples and, better witnesses. Then, I've always said, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. And so this information, he has given it to them in such a way that, and they had the money to do the production. So I think they did a very good job. And as I said, there's only a couple of areas where the Most High has given it to me. And I'm going to write to them and say, hey, why didn't you guys cover this? Did the Most High not give this to you or what? The same places in the scriptures where the Most High has been taking me and dealing with me, he took them to the same places, and then a couple of places where he hadn't taken me. So it is I think it's a good thing. So I'm going to pursue it because I think that it is relevant to today's message. It also helped me to even understand more what the Most High is wanting us to do as a ministry and as a community, a group, that when the times are coming up, everybody doesn't think that they're going through revelation. And so they don't think that they're going to go through the times of trials and tribulations. But we are going to go through it. And we are to be a refuge. That's what he's calling us to do. And so, we're going to put things in place. But there's going to be people that are, quote unquote, saved, that are going to be running into the wilderness. And they're going to need someplace to come to. That's why we don't want to be advertised, so that they can come. It's that we act selflessly. In these last days. So we're going to be looking for other people to join in with this, to help this to come into fruition. But it is getting close to the time of judgment. And that's what that verse in Revelation chapter 14 kept telling me, that the judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And so just as when the Most High, in the days of Noah, when he told Noah to start building the ark, up until the time that he closed the doors, the people had a chance to repent. But once he closed the doors, it didn't rain right away, and it had never rained on the earth up until that time. So, they weren't believing him because it had never rained on the earth. And for 7 days, it didn't rain. So, Noah and them probably were in there questioning themselves too, like, did the Most High really tell me this? Why isn't it raining yet? But the truth of the matter is, we're coming up to that point, just as when the Most High closed the door on the Ark of the Covenant, he's about to close the door on this covenant. And if you're not in this covenant, once he closes the door, you won't be able to get in. We're still going to be in the earth. That's the whole thing. We're going to still be in the earth. We're not going to be taken out of here. And he's going to save us through the judgment. And so we have to, believe that and understand it and believe it and walk in it, that he has us. And he's going to protect us. All we got to do is be obedient. So I want to cover these things in more detail in a future, lesson or broadcast, because I really believe that a lot of their message is on point. And as I said, the Most High had been giving me the same thing, but there were some areas that he hadn't dealt with me on that this actually ministered to me. So we will get into those things, and, you know, I want to make it to where, like I said, we do a lesson on it or lessons, precepts on it, so that we have understanding, and that, you know, I want to make a special plea to my family, and I will hope that you make a special plea to your family. I know most of them are, you know, most of my family are believers, but they're in the churches, and they're in the Sunday churches, and we need to make a special, it's like a last call to them to come out, and this is why. And so I'm going to give the rationale why and show it in the scriptures why they want to come out of those churches. Anyway, so let's move on. And just wanted to bring that up on this morning because, as I said, it has been ministering to me. And, you know, when the Most High wakes you up in the middle of the night and has you to look at something, and I didn't actually put it on this, you know, it just woke up and it was playing, and I was like, okay, let me check this out. And at first I was, you know, like, okay. But then they actually, you know, started going into a lot of the message that the Most High has been giving me concerning, you know, to fear him and keep his commandments. They didn't go into it as hard in those areas as I thought they ought to, but, you know, nevertheless, they did hit on them. And I think the Most High has given it to certain people to do certain things and to, you know, to harp on fearing him. I believe he's actually given me that ministry to do that, to go at it hard, to fear him. The other aspect of the message in Revelation chapter 14, he may have given that, you know, to the second, third, and fourth angels, messengers to do that. So to do something different, whatever they've been given. So we are definitely going to pursue it, and we want to be faithful in this thing. And as I said, he has given me and shown me more of what we are to be doing as a ministry in these end days, because judgment, what we're feeling is judgment coming. Okay? And judgment is going to come prior to Messiah's return. Prior to his return. And he's going to, when he comes back, he's going to burn up everything. He's going to, you know, cleanse the earth. But judgment for the wicked is coming before them. The tribulation is coming before them. He doesn't come back until the last trump in the tribulation, which is at the end. And so, you know, we just want to be mindful of these things. And when the Most High speaks to us, that we are diligent and faithful to obey. So we'll go ahead and get on with it this morning. If I can have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads wherever you are at in the world. As we go before the Most High, and we greet him in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, okay? We greet the Most High in the name of our Messiah, our Savior. We greet him with holy hands. Truly, he is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all our honor, and he's worthy of all our praise. So let me have you to turn toward the east, toward the sunrise. Okay, as we go before the Most High, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father, thank you, Yah, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, hallelujah. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name on today, Father. We give thee glory, we give thee glory, we give thee glory, for truly you are worthy, Elohim. You are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Hallelujah, for there is none like you. You are the only true and living Elohim, Father. And we just thank you for giving us a mind to worship and to praise you and to glorify you, Father, and to serve you. For you are our Elohim. Hallelujah. We thank you for truth, Father. We thank you for truth. We thank you for truth, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for a sound mind that we might walk in your way. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you for keeping us safe all through this night, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe in these terrible end days. We just glorify you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For you are truly worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You and you alone, Father. Hallelujah. You and you alone. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call him Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey your voice, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would smile upon this work and give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. And our scripture verses for this morning. First Kings, starting in chapter 8. First Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. The book of First Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize, so they won't be exactly as they are in your scriptures. I'm not adding to the scriptures. I'm just personalizing. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen. porticoes and the house which Solomon hath built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command you this day, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John, chapter 14, and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14, and verse 15. Messiah himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And I don't want to do that yet. The sounding of the shofar. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Until I can dedicate my breath and fall on the floor. Can we just call on His name together? We say Jesus.
Amen. Ooh, man, I remember when I was in New York, and I would be riding, it's getting to me now, I'd be riding the subway. I first heard this song. I just broke out, started speaking in tongues. I know people was looking at me strange, but, you know, God had to have His way. Just calling on Him at the mention of His name. And what that verse actually really means, when the Most High showed it to me, He's going to reveal who He actually is. This is your Creator. Yeshua, you are Yah. That's what's going to be revealed. And the world's going to know that there's not two, there's not three, there's only Him. Hallelujah. So, even now, you know, this gets to me. I want you to go ahead and be mindful this morning. Pull out your paper and your pen. We're going to do, because we're doing a new element to this discipleship, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. We need to do the principles, the foundations for this for broadcast purposes so that anyone that is downloading, I don't want them to have to go back broadcast and get what this discipleship is all about. Okay, so when we start a new principle, and this principle today is the sword of the Spirit in the armor of Elohim, the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But we're going to first start off with understanding what is a disciple. And I'm just going to say for the definition for a disciple, simply is a pupil. Somebody that is trying to become like their teacher. Messiah is our teacher, and we are His pupils, male and female. And so let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're not going to read every verse here. But who has ears to hear? Matthew, chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to Him and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. It was not given to the masses to know the principles of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. It's not given to everyone. Let's read down through verse 13. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. These, therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. It wasn't given to them to understand. These verses are true in Messiah's day, and they are still true today. Is only to whomsoever the Most High calls and chooses is the understanding given to, that you're able to even hear it, much less do it. Okay, so understand that what we're going through right now, it's not given to the masses to understand. That's why they don't do it. It wasn't given to them. So if you are able to hear it and understand it and do it, then blessed are you. Blessed are you. Okay, understand this. Not given to the masses. Never was given to them. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Think that as a disciple you must do. Priority you must have in your life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. And we know that word righteousness means lawfulness. To do right by the Most High is to keep his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But number one, seek you first the kingdom of Elohim. That should be first in your life. The number one priority. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom has to be so precious to you that all that you have, the kingdom is worth more than you have. You would be willing to give your all, to sell your all, to get the kingdom. This is how valuable it has to be to us. Verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom is equated to that great pearl. And you would sell all that you have to obtain that great pearl, the kingdom. This has to be our mentality. As disciples, and we're going to see this. Psalms 119. Verse 2, Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. So you got to seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Can't be a piece of you. Can't be what you have left over. If he's going to be first, then you got to seek him first and with your whole heart. And he's got to be so valuable to you. The kingdom has to be so valuable to you that nothing that you have is worth more than obtaining the kingdom. Psalms 119 and 34. Psalms 119 and 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. If we have understanding, then we know that we're supposed to keep his law. If we can hear the words of Messiah, we know that Messiah didn't just come and die for our sins for us to stay in sin. He died for our sins to set our record straight so that we can keep the Most High's law, what we weren't doing before. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Not a piece of me, but everything that I am. I'm going to observe your laws and your statutes and your commandments, your ordinances and your judgments with my whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So the Most High is saying, hey, his people, Jew and Gentile, all who are called in Messiah, are going to return unto him with their whole heart. Can't say you belong to him and he didn't have your whole heart. This is what he requires. Got to seek me first. I got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And you got to seek me with your whole heart. Not a piece of you. I can't be a leftover. The book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. The book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So you can't love anybody more than you love Messiah, not even your own self. Or he said, you cannot. Again, I want to reiterate this. Not that it's going to make you a poor disciple. If you love somebody more than him, if you love something more than him, he says you cannot be his disciple. Not worthy of it. Verse 26. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to do what it takes to be Messiah's disciple, to be his pupil, to become, quote-unquote, Christ-like or Messiah-like, you cannot be his disciple. If you're not going to give him your all, can't be his disciple. Okay, cannot belong to him. And here is the crux of the matter. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So he wants you to consider the cost. What's it going to take you to be his disciple, to give your all? Well, you're going to have to give up parents. You're going to have to give up children. You're going to have to give up spouse. You have to give up self. Can't nobody be more important to you than him, not even your own self. You got to consider that cost. This is what it's going to take me. He don't want you coming into this thing blind, because anything less doesn't cut it. Anything less doesn't work for him. And he doesn't have to take anything less. That's the whole thing. We have been deceiving ourselves when we think that we can just come to him and give him whatever we want to give him, whatever time we got left over, whatever funds we got left over. I didn't bless you to consume it upon yourself. I bless you to do the work of the kingdom, to bring my will and to do my will in this earth. That's what I blessed you for. So I didn't give it to you to get mansions and to get all these cars and to have luxuries beyond anything that you could ever imagine, what people do when they get ultra rich. I blessed you to bring about my will in the earth. And you're supposed to do it with your whole heart. So the more I bless you, the more you're able to do. Got to consider the cost. What is it going to take? You want to be his disciple? This is what it's going to cost you. You got the kingdom first and his righteousness. You got to seek him with your whole heart. It's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And you can't have love anybody else, not even yourself, more than him. He wants you to consider that. And say, can I do this? Am I really called? Am I really called by Messiah to salvation? Drop down to verse 33. You want to read the one about the king, because considering the cost really says it all. Drop down to verse 33. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Again, he's not saying if you don't do this, you're going to make a poor disciple. Then you cannot be a disciple. And then so when we claim to know him and we claim that, you know, we belong to him and we're his, he says, I don't know you. You didn't do what I asked you to do. You gave me what you wanted to give me, but I'm telling you what I require. He's not mincing words. And so as disciples, as followers of Mashiach, we got to know what's required. And he says everybody won't be able to hear this, and everybody won't be able to understand it. Everybody won't do it. So as the Most High puts it on your heart, and as he convicts you in your spirit, then you got to make the decision. Is this what I really want to do? Because he only wants those that want him. That he loves those that love him and keep his commandments. He has mercy on those that love him and keep his commandments. We got to hear what he's saying and do what he says to do. Okay. He's not playing. It's us that's been playing this whole time. So those are the foundations of discipleship. And as we have broken down in different areas, we've been working on the armor of the Most High. We are on the sword of the Spirit. We've talked about girding your loins with the truth. His word is truth. We've talked about having the shield of faith, that our faith is in the Most High. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is his laws and keeping his laws. So the breastplate is made up of his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. And when we do them, then we are righteous, and we have a shield of righteousness. According to him, he's the judge. And so we've been talked about having our feet shod with the peace of the gospel, being peace with him, at peace with him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You can repent and come back to peace with the Most High. You won't be at war with him, because when we are breaking his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, when we are being disobedient, he says we are his enemy. We are his adversary. So Messiah came to show us and make a way for us to come back into peace with the Most High. So we're supposed to have our feet shod with that message. You can come back into right relationship with the Most High Elohim and be at peace with him if you will just repent and stop sinning and obey his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. That's what the problem was from the very beginning. Adam and Eve disobeyed. They became adversarial to the Most High. And they weren't at peace with him, and he was not at peace with them. Kicked them out of the garden. Boop, you got to get out. So we got to understand what it is that we are facing and what we're doing. So on this morning, we're going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit. And that, you know, we talked about the helmet of salvation on last night and how we have to know that we are saved and how to get saved and that we live in that and that it protects us from our minds. Because this battlefield is in our mind. The armor is to deal with the battlefield of our mind. And then when the enemy comes against us, we use this armor to protect ourselves. And that helmet of salvation protects our mind. Doesn't allow just any and every type of doctrine to come in. Doesn't allow the enemy to throw rocks and hit us in the head and knock us out or kill us or cause us to fall and do things that we ought not be doing. So now we're going to be looking at how do you actually, all those other weapons, all those other pieces were defensive pieces. They were things to help protect you. But then how do you fight? You're going to fight by the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of Yah. Let's go to a start in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to do this a little bit different than I have it on my paper. So let me bring this up so you can see it. I'm going to do this a little bit different so you can follow along on screen. But I'm going to do this a little bit different, and I'll come back to this. Most I just put it on my heart to do it a little bit different. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6. And these are our reference verses. And we're going to get verse 17, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. So understand that we fight with the word of Elohim. You got to know scripture. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to know what word to use in what situation. It's not a cookie cutter. One, you know, set of verses covers everything. So you got to know when you're in a spiritual fight. You got to know when the enemy is attacking you or when you are to attack or how do you come to somebody's defense. It's by his word. This is what we use to attack with. Our weapons are not carnal. So we don't have a gun or a physical sword or a physical shield, but they are the armor of the Most High, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his word, And when we are doing battle, we do battle by his word. Okay, so you have, if you want to fight, you need to understand and know how to use the word of the Most High. That is our sword. Okay. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Because just as the Most High uses his word, you got to understand how his word operates, even when we use it. Okay? And he's authorizing us to use it if we are filled with his spirit. That's why it says you must be born of the water and of the spirit. And that's where, in this documentary that I was telling you about, where they, that I feel that they fell short at. Because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the spirit. And that's a physical infilling of the spirit of the Most High. It's not, you know, a change of your heart and your mind. That you have to do. But once you do that and you come to him, then he will physically fill you with his spirit. But let's understand how his word works. The book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth when the Most High speaks. This is who talking. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He's giving us that same power and authority when he fills us. We are to speak what he says to speak. That's why he tells us in the last days, if we are taken captive, if we're put in jail for the word, for the gospel, for the testimony of Christ, he says, don't worry about what you are going to say. I will give you what to say at the last minute. So you hold your peace until I tell you to speak. Then I will speak through you, and it'll be a testimony against them. So we got to understand that it's not us. It's the Most High himself. And he speaks through us. And whatever he speaks through us, it shall not return unto him void. So when we are in a battle and we call on the Most High, he shows up. It may look like you, but it's not you. And when you, as soon as you realize that, the better off you will be. The thought, the unction that comes into your mind, you have to be obedient to it. You have to obey it. You have to do what you are told to do. Sometimes it sounds like your own voice. But you have to learn to know when the Most High is speaking to you and be obedient to that voice. Because if he's inside of you, which is where he's supposed to be, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know you not that Elohim desires to reside inside of us? This is real. And we have to be in submission to this, or else we won't be able to effectively use the word of the Most High. We won't be able to effectively do battle. So understand that his word will not return unto him void, and that it shall go about to accomplish whatever pleases him. It's not our will be done, but his will be done. All right, so let's jump into this because I wanted to set that foundation first so that we understand. The word of Yah. Yah's will for man has come to us today, particularly through his written word or the scriptures. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is inspired by Yah. All scripture. And you got to believe that. Even what you don't understand, you got to believe that he had it written, and that you got to believe that he can control the minds and the hands of men. If he wanted his Bible, his Holy Scriptures written down, that he is able to control the hands and the minds of men, even when they want to do their own thing. They might think to do one thing, and he forces them to do another because he's in control. You got to know and believe that. So where people will say, oh, the scriptures are corrupted, or somebody made a mistake. They might have made, in the original form, it's Hebrew form, everything is there, and in the original Greek, it is there, and it is true, and it's complete. It's when we start translating to other languages, we run into some issues. That's why it's important that, you know, we don't just say, well, you know, I just read the English, and I know absolutely everything that the Most High intended. No, there are some things that are lost in translation. There are some things that can be lost in translation. So sometimes you have to go and check the original. Can't be lazy about it. And so I'm not saying that you have to learn Greek or that you have to learn Hebrew, but there are methods out here to check. What does this actually mean in the Hebrew? Here's the Hebrew translation of it. What does this actually mean in the Greek? Oh, and this is how they said it in the English. Because some things that are translated, the translation of it doesn't actually, you know, it's the person's best effort. This is my understanding of Greek or my understanding of Hebrew, and this is what this says. But somebody who grew up in that language might say, well, no, it has slightly a different nuance to it. It doesn't quite actually mean that way. Okay, so you can come to a sort of an understanding, but you may not have the entire gist of it perfectly. So we can't just stay in the English. The English will get us close, and it will, I say it will bring you to salvation. And it will help you to walk before the Most High correctly. But when you're studying to show yourself approved, then you have to check the source documents as well. Okay. So all scripture is good for these things. The Bible, which contains scripture, is no ordinary book. This is not an ordinary book. Its own witness is that it's inspired by Yah himself. Countless millions can also witness to its inspiration because they have found the life, found life through his word, through the enabling of the Spirit of Yah. Yah himself has been revealed to them, and they can personally testify to his goodness. It is therefore a must that we read and study our Bibles. Gotta study it. Gotta study it to ourselves approved. Making it a good lifelong habit. Not just, you know, I'm going to study because right now I feel like I'm ignorant and I need to study in the Word, but the Bible, studying the Scriptures is a lifelong thing. Every day, the Most High can show you something new. You can read a verse today and you get one meaning out of it. Read it 6 months from now as you continue to study, and you'll get a deeper understanding, a more expanded understanding of that same verse in a different spirit, in a different context. Same verse. So it's a lifelong thing. All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction or training in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be adequately equipped for every good work. You want to do good works? You got to know the word of the Most High. You got to know what his will is. You got to know how he wants you to operate, what he wants you to do, what is his expected behavior, not what men say. Because the men will teach you their understanding. That's why I never read commentaries in the Bible. And, you know, where somebody has taken a concordance and written a commentary out, and this is what this man thought. Because that's exactly what it is. It's what he thought. That don't mean that that's what the scriptures are saying. And I had to learn that the hard way. The Most High had to show me that. Stop reading those commentaries. Because they are full of the traditions of men. So you want to know what he thought? Okay, that's what he thought. Now, search it out for yourself. Come to me. Ask me. I'll show you. I'll give it to you. Okay? And you cannot be afraid to go to the Most High and ask him to show you in his word. All right, let's continue. HaMashiach gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Redeem us from every lawless deed. And purify for himself a people for his own possession. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for people who want to stay in sin. He's not looking for people who keep making excuses as to why they can't stop sinning. They're not giving it their whole. They're not giving it their all. They are not fearing him. They're not, you know, fearing the consequences. He's looking for a possession for himself. And if he makes us sinless, why would he take us if we willfully go back into sin? Oh, you willfully jumped in that mud puddle, got yourself dirty. And you want me to wash you up? I'm not washing you up. Now, this is what he's saying to us. I'm not washing you up again. Why? Because you did that thing on purpose. Now, if you were walking along and you tripped and fell into the mud puddle, that's a whole different story. That was an accident. But what we do ignorantly or by accident, he says he can forgive. But that we do willfully, he says, hey, there ain't no blood for that. So we got to understand that. He's looking for a possession that is spotless, a bride that is spotless and without wrinkle. He made the way for us to become that way, and he expects us to stay that way. So we need to understand his word. The word of Yah will, one, help us to conform to the image of HaMashiach. We're to conform to his image. He's our example. Not just the apostles, but everyone that comes to him. You can read that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Let's get verse 29. So we don't say Brother Miles said. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. Be conformed to the image. That means that Messiah was without sin. He's looking for children that are without sin. He made a way for us to become washed clean and be without sin. And then he made a way for us, should we sin ignorantly, that we can get washed from that. We can get that wiped off. But he says, if you willfully do it, there ain't no blood for that. I ain't washing that off. And so then we have to live in fear of our life, in fear of our eternity. Once we understand it, we should repent to him with our whole heart. I didn't understand the magnitude of this. And now I understand. Most High, please forgive me. And you won't know until the day you go before him. Just like I won't know, because I was taught in error. And I was doing those things that the church was saying to do until I went into his word myself and the Most High showed me. And I had to repent. And I'm still sore or very afraid. I might come before the Most High and say, yeah, you recognize, but I'm not choosing to have mercy on you. Because he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And in as much as is within me, I will still praise him in the lake. Because he's still worthy. It'll be my fault. So we've got to understand this. So we were taught in error. And we've been doing a lot of things in error, following the traditions of men and not following the word of the Most High. We're supposed to be conforming to the image of HaMashiach or Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. If you want to be like me, He's going to take your all. I got to be more valuable than anything in your life. Can't your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your auntie, your wife, your children, even your own life can't be more important than me. Or you're not going to be able to achieve what I want you to achieve. You're not going to be able to come like me. To impart to us spiritual guidance. This is what the word does. Imparts to us spiritual guidance so that we know how to walk in this carnal world according to the Spirit of the Most High. What does he want? What is his will? And provide to us with guidance or a guide for this life, how we walk every day. Order my steps. Tell me what you would have me to do. So we're going to do this in sort of a question type of format. What is the word of Yah called in the Bible? What does the Bible itself call itself? Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. The book of Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to get verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That's what the scriptures are. And at that time, in Nehemiah's day, there was no New Testament. There was the Torah, the five books of Moses and the prophets. Some of the prophets, not even all of the prophets. But the five books of Moses was called the book of the law. This is what I have set before you. Israel, this is what I want you to learn so you can teach the rest of mankind, so you can take it to the rest of mankind. My laws, so they can see that what a great nation you are and what great laws you have. Problem is, Israel didn't think the laws were that great. They didn't want to keep them, much less teach them to the rest of the world. And that was a problem. And so we got to understand that our nature, our carnal nature, is not to want to do this. So you have to make a conscious decision. You got to want to hate this world and the ways of this world. You got to want to be like the Most High. You got to want to be a citizen in his kingdom and obey his laws. Not the laws of man, but his laws. And he has given them to us. So it's the book of the law. That's what the scriptures call itself. The book of the law. The laws of the Most High. What he says is right and what he says is wrong. What he says makes us righteous and what he says makes us unrighteous. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. The book of Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of Yah. And his law does he meditate day and night. So when we have understanding, then we know that it's in the law of the Most High that we delight. This wasn't just for Israel. This was the world. Israel was supposed to take it to the world and teach it to the world. His law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. Thus saith Yah Elohim. And we're supposed to delight in them. Meditate in them day and night. Let them govern our lives. Go to John chapter 5. The book of John chapter 5 and verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, Messiah. Now, in this verse, he's identifying the scriptures or the Bible as the scriptures. Torah, because when Messiah was in the world, again, the New Testament was not written yet. So we're talking about the law of Moses, the Torah, and the prophets. To search them. In them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of him. Everything in there is about him. You just have to know how to hook it up and how to translate it and how to read it to understand, oh, this verse is talking about Messiah. Oh, this verse is talking about Messiah too. Yeah, this whole thing is talking about Messiah, talking about the Most High coming in the flesh, talking about him in the spirit, how he created everything, talking about him, what he's going to do as the Savior and as the Redeemer, talking about what he's going to do as the Judge. The whole thing is about him. Even when he came in the flesh, he told me, he said, hey, you search the scriptures, who you are reading about is me. Your Elohim is me. Your Savior is me. Your Redeemer is me. Your Judge is me. It's all about me. But he calls them scriptures. Okay? Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the holy scriptures. So now we know that the scriptures are set apart. They are holy. They are clean. That's what holy means. Clean. Sanctified. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice the day of HaMashiach, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul is talking to us, and he calls the scriptures the word of life. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to get eternal life? You got to search the word of life. What did Messiah call the word of Yah? Himself. What did he himself call it? The book of John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them gods or Elohim, whom the word of Yah came, and he's talking about Israel. When the Most High gave Israel his word, even with Moses, he said, I'm going to make you a god, an Elohim, to Pharaoh. That's why I said when we hear this word God, we have to be very careful. Because we are God. When we have the word of the Most High, and we are using the word of the Most High, he says, did you not know that you are God, and the scriptures cannot be broken? So, if he called them gods or Elohim, unto whom the word of Yah came, and the scripture cannot be broken, Messiah called the word the scriptures. Okay? Another name for the Bible, the scriptures. But when we say God, we need to actually identify who we're talking about. That's why I use Elohim instead. Okay. How were the scriptures originally given to us? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah. Yah spoke to these men's minds. He spoke to them like with Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to the prophets. He inspired them to write in visions and in dreams. When Moses said he spoke to him mouth to mouth, from my mouth to your mouth, speak it. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, rebuttal of somebody, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Got to believe that and know. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, people will use this verse if you don't come with their understanding. And I had people try to use this verse on me when I would be teaching and it's coming against what their pastor is teaching. You got a private interpretation. I said, no, I don't. And I would show them. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Ruach HaKodesh. I said, this is where my interpretation comes from. I'm not giving you my understanding. And because my understanding doesn't line up with yours, you want to say I have a private interpretation, but my interpretation comes from the author and finisher of the book himself. And the Most High told me I had to use that. Because he told me, I will teach you. I have to start you over. I will tell you what the word means. So don't go by your own understanding. I will show you how these scriptures line up, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Got to be by him. If you pick up this Bible and you do not have the Ruach HaKodesh, you don't have the Spirit of the Most High, you are going to come to your own understanding and you will come to a private interpretation. And it don't matter how many people believe the way that you believe. They came to the same understanding, but if it didn't come from the Most High and it's not through numbers, it's by his Spirit. And so he has to give us the understanding. So no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. But you have to get it from the Most High. He has to give you understanding in the Scriptures. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask me. And if you ask, don't doubt. So we got to understand this. How does the Bible describe the word of Elohim, the word of Yah? Go to the book of chapter 119. The book of Psalms chapter 119 and verse 8. The statutes of Yah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yah are pure, enlightening the eyes. So the scriptures are defined, described as being right and being pure. It's us that's corrupted, and a lot of times we won't understand even what we're reading. And we'll bring our own understanding into it. But the scriptures are right and they are pure. And they bring enlightenment. They bring enlightenment. Psalms 117 and 2. Psalms 117 and 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of Yah endures forever. Praise ye Yah. So it tells us that his truth, his word, endures for whatever. Kingdoms can come, and they will go. But the word of Yah will endure forever. Psalms 119. Psalms 111, verses 7 and 8. Psalms 111, verses 7 and 8. Still talking about how the Bible describes the word of Yah. The works of his hands are of verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. His word is sure. His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. So his word is sure, and it will stand fast forever. And it's done in truth and uprightness. Psalms 119, verse 42. 142. Psalms 119, verse 142. And then we're going to jump down and get 151 and 160. Psalms 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Why would people not want to keep his laws? And instead he tells you, my law is the truth. My laws are how I'm going to judge. My law is how I set up this entire universe. On my word, everything I created obeys my laws except for you, man. And some of the angels, which left their former estate. Verse 151. Thou art near, O Yah, and all thy commandments are truth. Again, his word is truth. 160. Thy word is truth from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments are endurance forever. So his word is truth. And it is righteous. It is righteous because it tells us how to be right by the one who determines what is right and wrong, the Most High Elohim. These are my truths. These are my righteous. If you live in them, you shall live. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. And as I said, if you have a pencil and pen, going to get a lot of scripture on this morning, but I usually try to give you a lot of scripture anyway. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of our Yah shall stand forever. We already read that before. His word is going to stand forever. His truth is forever, endureth forever. His judgments endure forever. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The Most High's word, anything that he speaks, is not going to return to him void. It's not going to come back and not have done what it is that he sent it to do, and understand that it is his word. It's not a person. It's not an entity, but it is a force unto itself. And that's what we got to understand about the Most High. His word is an active force unto itself. And his word said, a body you have prepared for me. His word was not an individual at that time. It had to wait to be manifest or born in Messiah. That's why he's known as the Word of Elohim. And the Word of Elohim, the words that he spoke, became flesh and dwelt among us in John chapter 1 and verse 14. His word went about to accomplish what he sent it to do. I need a Savior. My word and me are one and the same. You cannot separate me from my word. My word goes out to accomplish whatever I say. And if my word is in flesh, I am in flesh. And you're going to know me as the Son. But it's really me, your Creator. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's the way his word works. And the Most High said, let there be light. And there was light. How did it get there? His word went about to create light and brought it forth. His actually speaking it caused it to come into being. His own word. So we got to understand that that's the God, that's the Elohim that we serve. He is able to do things simply by speaking them, probably even just by thinking them. But he says he speaks it. And when he speaks it, it goes about to accomplish his word that he spoke. Go about to accomplish whatever it is that he spoke. So we got to understand that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 12. For the word of Yah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is your weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the word of Yah. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder or in two, the soul and the spirit. Your soul is your body. And then you are a spirit. You yourself, the entity, are a spirit. Infused in that body, using that body. Now let me say that differently. Because we are a three-part being too. Your soul is you, your intellect. Your emotions, your mind. The spirit is what you are, a spiritual being that uses that, that has those thoughts, that uses that brain, the body. And the word of Elohim is able to separate even your thoughts, your mind, your emotions from your spirit. It's a natural thing to separate the spirit from the body. You don't even need the word of Yah for that. He designed that with death, that your spirit would leave that body, and that body would rot out. But then your thoughts and your emotions, your intellect, your ego, that would make you as a person. He said this word, his word is able to separate even that. This is that sword that you're using, able to separate into your mind from your spirit. You're dealing with a scalpel of the utmost sharpness. Got to be careful with it. You nick yourself, you might bleed to death on a spiritual level. That's why you can't misuse this word. That's why the Pharisees, he said, they were using the law unlawfully. There's a way that you use the law, and there's a lawful way to use the law. And they were using it unlawfully. Let's list some of the benefits of the word of Yah. What are some of the benefits? Go to Psalms 107. The book of Psalms 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So the word, one of the benefits of the word is what? Healing. And when we understand and believe and don't doubt, the word of the Most High will heal us. Sometimes we have to have the laying on of hands to go along with that, because the way healing works, Messiah had to be touched. The woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, or he touched the person. And we got to understand sometimes when we're praying for someone that we need the laying on of hands for his word to work. is how he chooses to do it. So healing. Psalms 119, verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. List some of the benefits of Yah's word. 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. When we think we are too wise, too smart, we know it all, we got our own opinions, and we don't let the word of the Most High tell us, we are too complicated. The word of Yah can't tell us nothing. Can't give us understanding. But when we are simple-minded, when we are, you know, I just believe the word of the Most High, then he'll give us understanding because we're open to it. We're not going to be telling Yah what he's saying. He's going to be telling us what he's saying. So it gives us understanding of him, his way, what he desires, what he wants. It's what it's all about. We were made for his pleasure. John chapter 8, verse 32. The book of John, chapter 8, and verse 2. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word gives us truth, and when we know the truth, it makes us free from the bondage of sin. It makes us free from the wrath of the Most High. Because remember, our salvation is being saved from his wrath. You have transgressed against me, and I'm going to get you. And if you stay in my wrath, it is not going to be pretty. We're saved from his wrath. We're made free from his wrath by being made free from our bondage to sin, by serving sin, being the servants of sin. So his word will bring us into truth and make us free if we will do it. John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Yeshua is HaMashiach, the Son of Yah, and that believing you might have life through his name. That you believe the scriptures, that they teach you that Messiah is the Son of Yah. Because this is what he wants us to know him as in the flesh. I want you to know me as the Son. I'm the Creator. And I told you in Torah, I told you that these scriptures testify of me. Search them. In them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. I told you that I created the heavens and the earth alone and by myself. Then I told you I was your Savior and your King and your Redeemer. Then I had John to tell you that your Maker, who told you that he was the only one that made everything alone and by himself, came into the world, and the world knew him not. So that we can believe him. He says, now, in the flesh, I want you to know me as the Son. And this is how I want you to testify of me, the Son of Redemption. It's the work I'm doing in the flesh. Can never deny that. Even though you know I'm the Father, in the flesh. Recognize the work that I'm doing in the flesh and give honor to that work as the Son of Yah. Because believing that is how you're going to get eternal life. Believing that and operating out of that understanding is how you're going to be saved. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. Hearing the word of the Most High to give you faith in him. The more you read, the more you understand, the greater your faith, the deeper your faith, the wider your faith should become. His word should do that. So that you can know that you can stand on his word, that you can believe him. That's what your faith is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in HaMashiach, Yeshua. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah, and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we're supposed to know that the word of Yah is for inspiration. We're supposed to know that the word of Yah is for reproof, correcting those who don't know the word, for rebuking them, and then correcting, for instruction in righteousness. His word teaches us how to be right. It teaches us his statutes, his law, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances, his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and Elohim and all of his righteousness. What he says is right. All scripture is good for that. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. The book of Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Holding fast a faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. Exhort, encourage. And to convince people who say they know the word, or who you're fighting against gainsayers who are coming against the word of the Most High, who say they know the word, who are teaching it incorrectly. The only way that you can come against them is that you really know the word. The Most High kept me 5 years in training doing that. Debating every wind of doctrine out there, listening to the arguments, being caused to back up sometimes. Whoa, you got me. Until the Most High said, let me show you. Let me show you the truth of that thing. Now go back to them. So that I can, when I'm fishing, I can debate these things, and then I don't debate the scriptures for debate's sake anymore. The Most High says, don't do that anymore now. Use it for winning souls to the kingdom. Use it for knocking down brick walls, for knocking down fortresses where people have an understanding that they've had their whole life. But it's not true. And if you don't know the truth and you can't make it make sense to them, you can't move them. You can't draw them into the kingdom. You can't cause them to convert and have a change of heart. Can't use it to fish. So, to convince gainsayers, to encourage people. James chapter 1, verse 18. The book of James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We are begotten by the word. It's a kind of birth. And this is where certain Hebrew believers can't believe that the word is spirit. That it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Not the Most High himself is the spirit, but that his word is the Holy Spirit. So they believe that the more word that they know, the more spirit they have. And kind of in a way that's true, but it's deceptive and it's false, because we have an Elohim that speaks the words himself. And his words are written down. So what you can read is what he has spoken or dictated to someone. And those words will bring you life. They are spirit, and they will bring you life if you obey them. But they are not the spirit itself. The words then speak themselves, in other words. But the words, when we hear them, they cause us to be reborn again, if we believe them. They cause the word and the scripture and the conception or the thought of Messiah to be conceived in us. The fact that we are sinners and how we are to be saved. The word does this. That we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. When we are begotten by the word and we believe it, it is conceived in our mind, it takes root, we start to obey. We do what the word says to do. You must be born again of the water and of the spirit. Well, how do I do that? You read the word to find out how you are born again of the water. Then you further read in the word how you are born of the spirit. And then we become, when the Most High fills us with his spirit, we become a first fruit. The first creatures born again of the Spirit of the Most High, begotten of the Spirit of the Most High. What should our attitude or response be to the word of Yah? Let's go to Psalms 119. We're going to get verses 161 and 162. Psalms 119, verses 161 and 162. Shin. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. You should be in awe of the word of the Most High. If you're in awe of him, you should be in awe of his word and how it brings salvation and how he guides us into living righteous lives and how he brings us into the knowledge of him. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil, just like that treasure, great spoil. To be your attitude, that his word is a great work. To put you at awe, the things that our Elohim is able to do. He had even shown us all the things he's able to do. He only showed us what he wanted us to know of him. How we get back into right relationship is what he's concerned with at this moment. How do I bring you back into peace with me? I made a mechanism. I had it written down so that I don't have to keep repeating myself. And every generation can read it. And I will inspire somebody in every generation to teach it. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. And we're going to get verse 5. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Now, why are you going to be trembling at his word? You're going to tremble at his word because you fear him. And Sister Denise, my sister, go ahead and remute your mic. Or Sister Mary.
Okay.
All right, amen. You tremble at his word because you fear him. And if you don't tremble at his word, if it doesn't scare you to offend him, something's wrong with you. Everybody wants him to be their friend, wants him to be this loving and kind and merciful God. And he is those things to those that obey him. But he's not merciful to those that don't obey him. He's not loving to those that don't love him and keep his commandments and obey. Those are his words. So let's continue. I'm looking for that man that is poor and of a contrite spirit. That's somebody who is not puffed up, who's not presumptuous and full of themselves. And don't think, you know, they don't think that their opinion matters over the Most High. And that trembles at his word. So the word should have that effect on you. When you read that you are in transgression, it should make you tremble. But we really don't fear the Most High today. And we sure ain't trembling when we transgress. Oh, the word says all I got to do is confess. And he is true and just to forgive me. But the truth of the matter is, when we find out that we are in transgression, even by accident, we should be very much afraid. Because in the kingdom, when the kingdom comes, you won't be able to make a mistake like that. They're going to say, you're going to know. It's going to be written in your heart. Today is supposed to be written in your heart and in your mind. So we got to know. Isaiah 66 and 5. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yah be glorified, for he shall appear to your joy. If you tremble at his word, you're obeying his voice. All those people that say they belong to him and that don't keep his word, but they think they got some power and they have some authority over you, they might be part of the power structure. They come against you because what you're saying is not what they believe. They don't tremble at his word. They transgress and say, well, Yah is merciful. He will forgive me. But you tremble when you transgress. You're very much afraid of what may happen. Who he's looking for? He says, I'm going to appear to your joy. And they shall be ashamed. Are you that one that trembles at his word? Or are you that one that attacks those that tremble at his word? You ain't got to be all that. You ain't got to do all that. All that ain't necessary. You take that stuff too literal. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. The prophet that has dreams, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yah? When you have the word of the Most High, you're supposed to teach it and speak it what? Faithfully. In truth, how you're supposed to be. Because who you're speaking it to, the chaff is going to be burnt up. The wheat is going to be gathered and stored. Pray that you're the wheat and not the chaff. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, verses 29 and 31. And now, Yah, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. The Spirit of the Most High really gives you the boldness to speak the word of the Most High. You won't be saying, I think. He's going to let you speak that which he has told you and you know. You're going to be bold about it. You're going to value it. You're going to be careful not to cast your pearls before swine. People that you know could care less. You're going to understand that what you have is of such great value that you don't just treat it any kind of way. Get Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4 and 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of Yah with boldness. See, when we have a encounter with the Most High, and when we are filled with his Ruach, we become bold about his word. Trust me, we become very bold about it. And you're not shy about telling people the truth. And you're not shy about telling people when they are in error. Because you want to correct them, especially if they're truly trying to walk upright. And if they don't know, then you want to, or if they're coming against it, then you want to reprove them with boldness. And still be humble. But that what you're saying, you know, a lot of the brothers had to learn about me on these broadcasts. Hey, you say something that ain't in the scripture, or you say it, you teach it the wrong way, Brother Miles is not going to sit there quiet. Now, he might wait for you to finish to see if you clean it up. If you explain it, maybe you said something and you just explained it, you know, the way you were explaining it was just bad. But you cleaned it up, and it's all good. But if you said that thing and you left it wrong because people are believing what you're saying, and the scripture says you can believe a lie and be damned, then Brother Miles, if he hears a lie, is not going to let you stay in that. Not if he heard it. And if Brother Miles says something that's wrong, he wants you to correct him. With boldness. Because it's important that we worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. Let's see. How many verses I got so I can get to a place where we can stop? Okay, we got about 5 or 6 more verses. And then we're going to stop here for this morning, and we'll pick this up this evening. The Word of Yah. The sword of the Spirit. Go to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 48. Acts 13 and 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Yah. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So when you hear the word and you are ordained, you were selected, because he believed it. The scripture says many are called. The word goes out, and it's spoken to many people. And the Most High calls many people to hear the word. But few are chosen. Few are chosen. When we read in Matthew chapter 9, it's not given to everybody to understand. Even to those that are called. When we did the feast, when we did the heave offering and we did the lesson for the heave offering, the Feast of First Fruits, that ceremony, the Feast of First, that the priest would go out into the field and they would gather the grain, and they would gather a certain amount of grain. We represent that grain. And they would bring it in, and then they would take the best seeds, and they would choose those, and they would take those to grind up to make the loaf for the heave offering. So they went out and picked a lot of grains. A lot of grains were called, but only a few of the lot were chosen. And this is what the Most High does with us. He's doing the calling. He's doing the choosing. We got to do, you want to be chosen? Then you better be on your best behavior. You better be doing, making yourself the brightest bulb in the box. Your heart better be right before him. Don't let it be in your heart that you don't want to obey. Don't let it be in your heart that you don't want to keep his commandments, his statutes, his laws, his ordinances. Don't let it be that his laws are grievous to you. It causes you grief to keep them. Instead of bringing you joy, you complaining that, you know, I wish I could do something else. I wish I didn't have to do this way. I wish I didn't have to respond like this. It's not what's really in my heart. And he says, you better do what's in your heart because I already know what's there. I'm doing the choosing. So he wants us to get a right heart with him. He wants us to love righteousness. Pray we can hear this. Acts chapter 17. Let's see. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You got to be ready to receive the word. You got to be open to receiving the word. You got to put away, you know, as the Most High told me, you needed to be retaught. I need to reteach you. You have been reading in this word since you were 18 or 19 years old, and seriously, since you were 21. Been going to all these different churches and being taught by men. And some of the stuff that they have taught you is true, and some of the stuff that they have taught you has been in error. But I will teach you. So you got to empty your mind. Your mind has to be ready for what I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to show you. Got to be willing to accept it. And search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So these people were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. And they searched the scriptures. Their mind was open to what was in the scriptures, and they searched the scriptures to see if what they were seeing, if the scripture said it, and if those things were so supposed to be. You got to be hungry like that too. Remember, to be his disciple, we have to want this thing with our whole heart. We got to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Got to make sure that what we're reading, that we understand that it is so, that our understanding is correct. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll get verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's rightly discerning the word. Not taking one verse or two verses, but taking the entire counsel of the word and coming up to truth. You read a verse, and this verse may say this, but then you read some more verses or some more verses down, and it's giving you more understanding. And then you go to another book that's talking about the same thing, and you get even a better understanding. So search the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. Study that you would rightly divine or divide the word. And when you don't understand, ask the Most High. I don't understand this. Please reveal it to me or send someone to me to explain this. And he will. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Messiah's words were written down. They will give you wisdom. The entire scriptures will give you wisdom if you will believe them and do them. If you will believe them and do them. Then will your house be built on solid rock. Then your foundation will be on solid rock. Won't be on quicksand. You won't find yourself sinking when you get in trouble or when you get into a spiritual battle or every time you're out in the world and temptation comes, you got nothing to stand on because what you're standing on was not solid. But if you believe and you are in truth, then it's going to be solid. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Big one. We'll stop here for the day. Pick it. We're going to start in question 7. What does the Bible refer to our spiritual food? We'll pick this up on this evening, but James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Your natural nature is to hear the word. That sounds good. Yeah, I ought to be like that, but not actually do it. But he wants us to be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Doers of his commandments. Believing what we read, understanding what we read. and then doing it and be scared that you're not going to do it good enough. Because if you're supposed to be reading his word and trembling at his words, then you should be afraid that you're not doing it to his standard. Am I giving this thing my all? Am I doing it exactly the way that he wants it done? So remember when he told Moses, Moses, you create that tabernacle exactly after the pattern that I showed you. Exactly. And then you teach the priesthood to do exactly my service exactly the way that I told you that I want it done. Make sure they know and understand that they are not to deviate. They're not to add to or take away from it. But they are to do exactly what I said to do. And then Nadab and Abihu, what they do? Oh, here comes the Most High. Here he comes. Let's burn some incense. Not what they were told to do when they were told to do it. And the Most High burnt them up. That's not what I told you to do. That's why I said we need to be very afraid. That's why he says we need to be trembling at his word. We need to be cognizant that he don't play. Understand he don't play. And because we're not seeing judgment right away, we might think that we got away with something. But if you really have understanding, if you really know who you're dealing with, because I'm looking for those that tremble at my word, that are poor and of a contrite heart. Because my word is going to come true, and when you are doing spiritual battle, it's my word that you better rely upon. When you are battling in your mind with what's right and what's wrong, you better fall back on my word. My word will keep you out of trouble. My word will be a light unto your path. My word will guide you. My word will keep you from my wrath. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you even right now, Father. Father, you know the heart of every person listening. Father, make them doers of your word. And not only hearers, but doers of your word, Father. Let them hear and obey. Let them give themselves to you wholly, Father, in their entirety. Everything that you have blessed them with, give them a mind and a heart that you have blessed them with it for your kingdom's sake and not to consume it upon themselves. Let them understand that they need to know your word and need to know it fully, that they might walk in your ways and be pleasing unto you. Father, give us your heart. Give us your heart that we should do righteousness and that we should learn righteousness from you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, we will pick this up on this evening, and we will continue in this word. I have a bunch more scripture on this, and we won't go over the foundations on this evening. We will start off right where we left off at, starting in question number 7. What does the Bible refer to us as spiritual food? And we will, you know, try to finish this thing up this evening. Yeah, we'll try to finish it up this evening. We've got a lot to cover. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And if you have questions, by all means, come with them this evening on anything that we've covered. Come with them this evening. I don't want you, you know, if you got questions, I don't want you to say, well, I got questions, but you didn't give me a chance to ask. If you have questions, come and I'll make space this evening. We have new moon service on the 29th of the month, so be prepared for that. We are ordered to keep it. And remember, I love you. I really do. And it is my desire to teach you the word of the Most High as he has taught it to me. I can't get you into the kingdom. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. But I simply want to be obedient to the Most High Elohim and teach you what he has thus taught me, and that we might both walk into the kingdom together. So may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Shalom, family. Pray to see you on this evening as we finish up this precept.
Yeah. Shalom, Brother Mal.
Shalom, Sister Mary.